It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15. This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the...
That was literally the fastest 15 ever. I bet you even thought it wasn't 15 minutes. You know, that's some incredible stuff. David Bowe's in for Dory Monson. You can comment fast, too. Just text us via the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. That's 98973 to text us your comments. But now is the fastest 15, starting with Gig Harbor Police want access to the toll cams. They say, look, you know, the laws prohibited the police from being able to access the toll cams. We've had Amber Alerts. We've had criminals fleeing. We want to be able to see if somebody's going over the Narrows Bridge or if they've already gone over the Narrows Bridge, because it would be able to, we'd be able to narrow our search. By the way, just having this advertised, I always thought that, I guess I wasn't paying attention. I thought they could, because I thought, man, the last thing I would do if I was a criminal is go across the bridge, because
right,
they'd see. Now, there's probably a lot of criminals that are sitting there going, man, I avoided the bridge. You know, they're in jail listening to Cairo. Number one in that demo, by the way. The So they've got
Well, what people might not realize that is that state law says that any photograph or videotape from those cameras can only be used to collect tolls or enforce civil penalties.
Yeah, and so the purpose of that is the civil penalties they're talking about are just the act of going across the bridge. But I'm sure the reason for this was because what a bunch of people do not want is police going to find out if you were 3 miles over the speed limit or, in some cases, 12 miles over the speed limit.
Oh.
They don't want you testing that kind of thing. They don't want to see if you're on your phone. All they want is you collect the toll. They don't want Big Brother spying. I feel like there should be an accommodation here. Like, there's a difference between the Big Brother spying and, hey, we have a criminal that's on the loose. We want to check for this specific person.
Yeah, right? If there was some way they could say, you know what, we won't do this as a practice, but in this particular case, if they could make a case and say, we need it because this bad person is out there and that information would help in this particular case.
You'd have to have the prohibition against using it just to jack up ticket prices, because
yes,
there's always the temptation that, hey, more money is needed. You know, there's that. That's a slippery slope, because there's that temptation of, hey, we got to raise revenue. But not all slopes are slippery. I feel like if there's an Amber Alert and you want to find out if that vehicle's crossed and we could do that really quickly, you know, that's not a slippery slope. That's a plateau, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that you could just sit there on and relax. It's an obvious thing. Same thing with, we've got an escape prisoner or somebody's avoiding arrest here and the vehicles just drove off at a high rate of speed. We have the license plate number. We should be able to check those things really quickly. So while there seems to be a lot of controversy about this, I feel like too often in today's political debates, we either side will shout the, hey, it's a slippery slope, and that's supposed to like end all argument. But
right,
but again, not all slopes are that slippery. You can put some cleats in there. You can have some plateaus and some checks and balances. And it seems like a reasonable thing.
And it sounds like the Gig Harbor police chief is willing to go back to the legislature and say, hey, this is why, you know, he's
yeah,
not giving up.
Yeah. This is what I want. This is why I want it. It's not, shouldn't be that controversial. So let's just relax. Story number two on the fastest 15. I always thought there'd be music to this.
Wow, you're going real fast.
No.
I think there is. Isn't there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm having a little issue with my audio vault. So
when Dave
music
says fastest
be here
15.
Problems.
Yes.
He means fastest 15.
We're going back to the silent movie days. Fastest 15. You just get to imagine the
soundtrack
yourself.
What's your favorite Disney song?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
The favorite Disney song of this fellow who we're talking about next is, I guess, It's a Great World Again After All, or it's a Trump world After All, according to Don Cini, who has been banned from Disney World twice. He was banned from Disney World several weeks ago for unfurling a giant Donald Trump banner in the Magic Kingdom. He's now been banned again.
I feel like that wasn't a ban then. That was a
suspension.
Suspension or
they
a
took
kick
away
out.
His annual pass in September.
Yeah.
Now, and then they said, oh, we're going to let him back in.
Yeah. So it was a ban, and then they said, well, you know what? Maybe that was too harsh.
Okay.
So they said, okay, he unfurled his banner. He was sitting on it. You know, I mean, it was big. It's like.
It was on a ride.
Well, no, that's the new one.
Oh, that's
the
right.
New
okay.
One. The banner
first
itself.
One he actually tried to hang.
Yeah. It looked like. If you were laying out a picnic blanket, this would be like two of those. Big, huge Donald Trump banner. This time he just held up a sign that said, Make America Great Again. and he's on one of the rides, the roller coasters, and he's holding it up.
I think the first one said Make America Great Again. This one said Trump 2020.
Yeah, my apologies. I get them confused because they're one and
we'll
the same, are they not?
I mean,
I thought they were the same thing, right? So he holds it up, and now they're stepping in to say, look, you're banned again. He says to be fair, he was trying to push them to see if they were upset about what his last sign said or if they were willing to put up with, say, something else.
So it doesn't have to do with the fact that it was a Trump banner. And I think Disney is saying that it's a safety issue. And that's, I mean, so if it were an Obama banner or any other kind of banner, they would do the same thing, right?
So they say.
Oh, okay.
So they say.
But
we'll see about that.
The rule that he's actually going against is the one where you're inciting a reaction.
Oh.
And so in that case, it is because it's Trump. Because if it said anything, if it said, have a nice day, it wouldn't be inciting, I guess.
Well, then they have Pride Day. That's supposed to incite a reaction, you know,
No, that's what he's saying. It's because it says Trump that it's.
Yeah.
Inciting something,
right.
Pride Day is just to say, hey, yay, it's Pride Day.
Well, yeah. But it would still be, hey, let's rally around this. I mean, there's still the rally factor. So
their park rules state, though, that the usage of any flag, any banner, or any sign to incite a crowd is prohibited. So,
yeah. I know, but I feel like what crowd was incited here when you've got Mr. How old is this guy? Like 61, I think?
I don't know, but he's had his Disney pass for 24 years.
Yeah. I mean, First of all, I wish I could have a Disneyland pass. Is he going to the park by himself at this stage?
Probably.
I mean, this seems like an odd thing. Although
it's the happiest place on earth. Why wouldn't you?
I wonder if Trump directed it because he's gotten a lot of free Trump 2020 advertising off this. He's been in basically national media. He's been in multiple newspapers, international television, and it's all because he held up a banner on a roller coaster. And nobody's just taking a step back to say, why is this man got a pass for 24 years to Disney, and why is he by himself?
It is pretty funny. He's actually
maybe that's already
New York.
Explained.
Yeah. He is from New York City, so he has to travel down there. I mean, I know lots of people that have, or I know a few people.
Hey, what do you have against people? Yeah, what do you have against people?
Passes, but.
Right, and why not go? If you can be okay riding a ride by yourself, more power to you.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is that the reason why he's by himself is probably because he keeps unfurling banners, you know? You know, I'm a fairly political guy, but that doesn't mean I want all things to be political. So, you know, it'd be like if you're sitting next to this guy at a dinner, you know, and you're having a pleasant conversation with people about, I don't know, your favorite Disney film. You know, The Little Mermaid was really a fantastic animated tale. And I just love that Under the Sea. And you've got, you know, what's this guy's name again? Cessna? Bob? Something? Don. Hey, Don, what did you think? Make America Great Again!
Well, you know, he's actually...
You'd be like, well, hey, that's great, Don, but let's... What was your favorite song there that had it? Trump rules! Would just be
he's made
awkward.
This his thing, though. He's actually showed up at Yankee Stadium and the Broadway show Frozen to hold up Trump signs.
Yeah.
So this is his thing.
That is his thing.
It's retired life for you.
He is
one way to go.
He is the celebrity equivalent, I guess, of kind of a YouTuber, except his is mostly static images, where he's relying on other people to film him. So good for him. You know, I'm not judging her. I'm just saying it seems a little strange.
It sounds like Disney's doing everything it can to keep giving him back his pass. Like, here you go, try again.
But here's another thing about Disney is think of all the directors and stuff they've hired with weird records, right? And they're like, you know what? We're thinking about bringing you back just because you had these other strange things in your background. But then this guy holds up the banner. Banned! Banned for life! You know?
Well, no, he got one chance. He blew it on the second.
Well, who knows? Maybe he'll be forgiven again. Let's hope so, just for the sake of the nation and Disney ticket sales. Story number three. The photographer who took the so-called Nazi salute picture at a school in Wisconsin. How do you say this name of the school in Wisconsin? It keeps reminding me of Hart's Barracuda, you know? But it's like Baruba.
It is Baruba.
Is it Baruba?
Yes.
Baraboo.
Baraboo. Oh, that's right. Because it said Baraboo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Baraboo.
That's like when my wife and I are driving,
like not Aruba.
Driving somewhere. She'll say, take a right. And I'll say, what? It was supposed to. I take the right. She's like, well, you just weren't making up your mind. I just chose a direction. It's like, well,
I
was going to take a left.
I like
but
her
you said
style.
Take a right.
Turn
like, well,
right,
somebody had
left.
To make up their mind.
Yeah. Baraboo. Yeah. So like Bugaboo, but Baraboo.
Right. That's what it reminds me of.
Yes.
Bugaboo.
Yeah.
Or the Bugaloos, as it turns out. Anyway, these kids,
Bobaloo.
They got this photograph. And if you look in the upper left-hand side of the photo, it looks like some of the kids are giving the Nazi salute. Others look like they're waving. And another guy, we were having a debate earlier off air, one of the guys is considered to be given the white power okay symbol. But to me, it just looked like he was holding a reefer or might have been pinching his pants. Okay. I don't know which. So...
Seriously?
Dave, it so, looks like gonna, most of them are giving the salute. Let's get real.
And it looks like he's very purposely making that white power sign.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not as hip on my white power signs as you. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, it's like the last time somebody accused somebody of doing the white power thing, it was at the, which hearing was it? It was Kavanaugh hearing or something? Or No. What hearing was that?
I don't remember. But
it turned out it was like a Holocaust survivor. And they're like, oh.
It was a young woman. I don't think she was a survivor.
White power. Grandchild of right. Or something. Anyway, the point is. It was a mishap. So I don't know. Maybe he was. But
Wait. It was a mishap.
It was a lapse in judgment.
You mean?
Yeah. It wasn't just an accidental. Oh, we're all doing
I'm
this.
I'm talking about the hearing.
Oh, gotcha.
Where the woman was falsely accused,
and then she's
like, "I'm Jewish. We don't give the white power salute."
No.
So anyway, so once again, this is a perfect example, by the way, of the desire of modern society to just leap at a fence and just go, "What? I can interpret this the worst way possible. I'm going to do that," you know. And it's a weird thing. So, but let's take this and say all these kids were trying to do some Hitler salute. And
everything's
it's
a 10.
You know, and I'm saying, yeah, everything's a 10. And let's say that because the photographer who took the photo says that's not what they were trying to do. That's what the photographer, he says, he told the kids to wave.
I'd said to them, okay, boys, you're going to say goodbye to your parents. So wave. For society to now turn it around and blame these kids is absolutely wrong.
Okay, so let's say...
That's comical.
Yeah.
Ursula
but wait,
okay. loves that cut. Dave.
But wait. Now let's say that some of the kids up in the upper left-hand corner, I'm just creating a scenario here where one of them said, oh, yeah, I'm not putting up with this fascist stuff. Let's all salute like Hitler. So they do the Hitler salute. Let's just say, whatever the case is. They do it. I feel like this picture was 6 months old. They gave the salute. The best path forward would be like to educate them and say, look, you might have thought it was funny, but, you know, just because Hogan's Heroes is still on in repeat, that doesn't mean Nazism is funny. Here, let me show you. Or let's go to the Holocaust Museum, which is probably one of the most effective museums ever. Go and see that so that you could educate these kids. Instead, it's like the whole Twitterverse wants them like destroyed for all time. Let's find their names. Let's make sure they never get out.
Yeah, and I
let's identify them with Nazism forever.
And I don't agree with that. The whole Twitterverse is, and there's quite a few, but I think we can all learn from, like you said, like the Auschwitz Memorial Twitter page among the groups criticizing the photo. But instead of saying, hey, these kids are horrible and, you know, they need to be put away and there needs to be a criminal investigation, they're saying, we need to educate. And you're absolutely right. We need to say, this is why this is inappropriate. And I think one of the things that Nicole had here is that this photographer is now saying he wants to change his name because he's getting such a backlash. It's like I think he could do himself a whole lot of good if he were to say, you know what, in looking at that, I can see how that would be really hurtful. And it's unfortunate that I didn't realize it at the time that I could have also taught them a message. The other thing that's wonderful
about that picture, he claims that's not what he was trying to do.
But he was changing it. I mean, just because he claimed it initially. He was trying to cover, and then he realizes, yeah, no, that wasn't right.
We have a couple more cuts from a kid today, and so the story is a little bit...
Yeah. Here's one of the teens who participated. He's trying to explain the whole thing.
They said, all right, boys, last one. Throw up the high sign, and it was kind of mass confusion because we were all kind of goofing around and stuff because we didn't really want to take the pictures and all that. So we're all kind of goofing around on the steps, and he says, throw up the high sign, and we were kind of confused, like we didn't know what the high sign was. So I actually turned to one of my friends in the picture and was like, hey, what's going on? He said, I don't know, just stick your hand out, because that's what he demonstrated. He kind of took his hand from his body and stuck it out. So I just turned and stuck my hand up, and that's kind of what happened.
See?
He's precious.
Puts his hand out there. Ends up looking like a Hitler signal. Right? It's not up like the...
Dave.
Safety salute.
We need to just give more
something else.
We need to give more attention to that young man, despite his 50 classmates and a kid who has been bullied. I mentioned this yesterday, but I got to say it again. The one kid who realized, you know what, this is not okay, even though I'm going to be further ostracized because I'm being different from everyone else.
His name
is
Jordan
Blue. I knew that was not right.
Jordan Blue says,
the photographer told us to raise our hand kind of in a way And I knew at that point that some of my classmates are very immature. So I didn't want to do that. And I saw what was happening and I felt so upset.
So here's the thing. When you call your classmates immature, you're not going to be the most popular kid in school. I mean, but, Jordan Blue might have been named Dave Bowes at one point. That might have been an alias of mine.
But so, kudos to him to stand up and say, hey, this is not right. And like the Auschwitz Memorial Group, they say, hey, if Baraboo wants to know more about what can be the extreme result of normalization of hatred, and hatred is enrolled in this symbol, please see some online lessons dedicated to the history of Auschwitz.
I also
advice.
I don't think that the kids were trying to normalize the thing. I think that, you know, we live in a society where most of the popular comedies of that age bracket are very irreverent. You know, they do all kinds of politically incorrect things that would never get away with. Seth MacFarlane creates a bunch of them.
Well, and they want attention. And the bottom line is they were doing whatever they could to get attention.
Yeah, and look at Family Guy. They use Nazi imagery all the time to make a joke.
But what is normalization is us trying to say, you know what, it's just kids being kids. Let's just look at it as, hey, here's a chance to teach your kids. I have two boys. You know what? If they did that, I would tell them, here's why this is not okay.
I don't think nobody here said, yeah, it's just kids being kids. If you guys want to start doing the Zig Heil, let's roll with that. But it was, if they get caught doing something like that, let's not make it so that they're demonized forever.
They can't be demonized forever. They just need to be educated.
Yeah, but with the internet, everything lasts forever. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like that picture. One of those kids could end up trying to go to the Supreme Court someday. And let's face it,
they're out.
It's over. And it's not even the kid doing the Zig Heil. It's one of the other kids in the background. It's like his hand's halfway up. He's like, I thought they said hi, not Heil, you know, and his hand's like halfway. And he's going to be sitting there going, I never raised my hand the whole way. And everyone else is going to go, no. He was, after they took the picture, his hand went all the way up and he was doing the full on Zig Heil in a march like John Cleese. So, you know, I'm just saying it can get a little rough to be a kid in a world where everything is cached by Google at some point. All right, story number four. A car dealer in California Now, these people are not kids. This is just bad. And by the way, the kids are bad enough. I feel sorry for the parents because I can picture teen kids just going, oh, yeah, I've got a great idea. It's going to be hilarious. And then it's like their parents are like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to care for my son as an adult now. But then in California, it turns out that, you know, you can also have horrible judgment as an adult who owns a car dealership. California's basically been on fire. A number of people have died. The California parts of it near Malibu look like Armageddon. And the Simi Valley Ford dealership has an ad. Well, we didn't catch fire, but these deals are smoking hot. Take a look. A 2018 Ford Escape for $19,990.
I mean.
And shockingly, some people were upset by that. They felt it was insensitive to the number of people who died in that area who were burned alive.
I mean, there's still hundreds of people missing.
Yes. Bodies still being found and people being pried from the charred remains of vehicles. Then the Simi Valley Ford got a little bit of blowback on social media. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
That time. But Ford...
They continued, though, with their response on Twitter. They said...
Our advertising team this week, by the way, our advertising team as in let's throw them under the bus, right? Our advertising team picked a heading for this week's campaign that appears to be insensitive to some.
You think?
it appeared to some, you know. So if you're one of those that's offended by mocking our burned alive neighbors, well, you know, I mean, that's on you. So I think the Ford dealership, they're going to be held to account. That's the kind of publicity.
Or they just
really
got
hard.
Nationwide marketing.
Yeah, I don't think too many people are going to go, you know what, I want to go to Simi Ford now that I've learned that they're making fun of their dead neighbors. You know, it looks bad.
I hope not.
You just know the Ford dealerships nationwide are like, Simi Ford is not a part of our organization. You know, just get rid of them. They're Chrysler now, so you know.
Yeah. Their Facebook page no longer exists.
Yeah, it's over. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You can text us about anything you want via the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. Just text 98973. Text us your comments. I used to work with Ben Shapiro, who's been in the news quite a bit as a commentator. He's a columnist. He's a lawyer. The guy has been he is a genius. I mean, he's extremely intelligent, sharp young guy. He's also a very conservative, kind of a firebrand, but he's taken on Trump on a number of issues and a number of his behaviors. So he's been enemy number one there. And then he's kind of, since the left focused on him, he's kind of back in the graces of a lot of activists. But all in all, he's a civil person. He is a sharp and an intelligent person. I worked with him for a while at our sister station, KTTH, here. And then I've spoken with him a number of times when he's come to town to visit. I've seen him be threatened on national television, and I've seen CNN make excuses for those violent threats that he endured, threats to beat him up in the parking lot, a guy that was on set, grab him by the neck and make a threat. Shapiro's what, about 5'6", maybe 5'4"? I mean, he's not a tall or a big guy, but he is an intelligence to be reckoned with. So he's also very popular on the speaking circuit right now. And whenever he comes to a college campus, there is a frenzy among leftist activists who act like having Shapiro on campus to speak is a violent act in itself. And so you get offices like in Ohio State University. When it turned out Shapiro was going to be speaking, the Moral Scholars Program Student Advisory Council that operates the Office of Diversity and Inclusion sent an email to students encouraging them to, quote, seek a safe environment if they don't, quote, feel comfortable around a climate that will be created by Ben Shapiro's presence. Well, the climate that Shapiro presents is, hey, I'm going to give you a lecture and I'm going to tell you what I think is right and I'll give you 19 reasons why I think it's right. And if you ask him a respectful question or challenge him, he will respectfully reply. But those who don't like Shapiro respond like this. That was a mass of Ohio State protesters shouting, Reagan's dead, Reagan's dead. Now, I don't know why they're yelling at Shapiro that way. I don't know if Shapiro is yet 30. He might be 30, but if so, he's not very far past 30. Then they shout about McCain. So they've established they know two historical facts. Reagan is dead and John McCain is dead. And then they go after Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro.
So that's for those of you trying to figure out what the beep means. It starts with an F, ends with a bomb. So it's an F bomb, Ben Shapiro. Now, there's two ways to interpret that. One, they think that Shapiro is so satisfying in the art of carnal knowledge that they're encouraging everyone to experience such things, or they are trying to say that he is a horrible person and needs our scorn. You can guess what the actual interpretation is. So for some reason, that's supposed to be an argument. Again, shouting the F-bomb, F him, that's supposed to be the be-all, end-all. Now you've really taught Shapiro a lesson. But the university's official offices are responding as though Shapiro is the one causing the commotion. Shapiro is the one that's creating this hostile environment. They offered the Moral Scholars Program at Ohio State offered a safe space to students who preferred not to be alone and found themselves unable to cope with the fact that Shapiro was speaking to a few hundred people on their campus. The campus that, by the way, there's, what, 45,000 people enrolled at that campus? So Shapiro speaks to a few hundred in a private lecture hall, and they're giving safe spaces to students, warning of the hostile environment that can result from these kinds of events. Which is, again, by these kinds of events, does that mean having the conservative come speak, or do you say that this happens with every lecture, every guest that comes on? And if it's just the conservatives, then I think it's time you addressed the attitude of your campus and the behavior of people who want to have tolerance only of their own views and not of other views. People who are trying to block or thwart Shapiro or intimidate people who go to that event are not friends of free speech. They're not friends of intellectual debate. And they're certainly not friends of a quote-unquote safe environment. They're doing all kinds of things there that are basically designed to squelch free speech. So, you know, again, you've got Shapiro, sharp, intelligent, witty lawyer who wants to show up, give a respectful lecture. The college steps in with its pathetic embarrassment, claiming diversity, and then setting it up as though the students need a safe space from this person who the only way they would be exposed to Shapiro's speech is if they walked into the lecture room. And they act like it's a peanut allergy, that somehow if Shapiro walks by or they walk on the same part of the campus that Shapiro walked, well, suddenly they're tainted in some way. None of that makes any sense at all. And speaking of colleges making no sense, a college library has referred to Thanksgiving as hashtag National Day of Mourning. The Merrimack College McQuaid Library promoted an article on, quote, decolonizing Thanksgiving, a toolkit for combating racism in schools, with the hashtag National Day of Mourning. Here are some wonderful resources for teaching children about Thanksgiving, the Post said. It's great for educators and parents. Hashtag Thanksgiving, hashtag decolonizing, or it's Thankgiving. They misspelled it themselves, so I don't know if that's the hashtag for those who don't quite want to give thanks, but it's Thankgiving. It's like it's a protest misspelling. Or hashtag decolonizing Thanksgiving, hashtag anti-racism. So, again, let no holiday go unmolested by the PC police of our campuses. Evergreen State College would be the one I would have guessed would do this kind of foolish thing. But instead, the library issues this hashtag National Day of Mourning. They suddenly realize that a bunch of, my guess would be, donors and alum said, yeah, we're not into that. So they rescinded it really quickly and blamed it on the intern, which is always handy. David Bowes in for Dory Monson on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You can text your comments to the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. In Southeast Missouri, a school district is considering sensitivity training after one of the students gave a presentation dressed as a member of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm not sure if they had the costume on standby or if they just repurposed a bedsheet. But either way, it caused some commotion when a picture of the presentation showed up online, and people in town started to ask, what is the reason for the costume? Once the picture showed up on the internet, the Poplar Bluff School District's investigating after the student showed up. The interesting thing to me is the superintendent spoke with KFVS television there and said, look, there is no context here.
There's no context for this. There's no point at which anyone in our public school system is going to say that this is okay. It is very obvious that this can't happen in any setting, anywhere. And so we will do our best to ensure that we do what we do best, which is education. And we will make sure that our students, our teachers, and our community understand the context, understand what is acceptable and what will never be acceptable.
This guy's so nervous. You can tell he's just, never. And I just saw isn't it a Spike Lee movie, the Black Klansman movie that was just out a little while ago? Wasn't that, I didn't see it, but I wanted to see it. I thought it looked like an interesting film.
I don't know.
No. Anyway.
It's not my genre.
I'm just saying the context where he says there is no context for this. Immediately when I said that, I thought,
there's no context for this.
No context. That cannot possibly be true. There has to be a context. For example, a student might have showed up in a Klansman costume to intimidate other students and to give the Zig Heil salute. That would be a problem. Right. That would be, hey, we've got a deranged student in this class who's trying to terrorize other students. This is a dangerous thing. Or the student could be giving a presentation on the 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Now, it just so happens that the student who dressed up as a Klansman was not trying to intimidate people, but was part of a study group that was doing a presentation on the 15th Amendment. So I haven't seen the video of this or anything, but don't you think that that's worth mentioning as context when you're saying, hey, there's no context for this. I don't see any. It's inappropriate at all times. Well, let's say the students were looking into this as part of their study session, which is what they were supposed to be doing, and they found out that, yes, there were terror organizations within the United States that methodically sought to suppress votes and would threaten and carry out violence and even murder to make sure that black Americans and others would not be able to fully express their rights as citizens. Now, they could either say it, or somebody could show that not only were they the secret society terror group, but they also had scary kind of symbolic uniforms. And they would carry out this campaign, and they were able to get high-powered and prominent members of society as members of that terror group. So, you know, it seems to me that context would mean a heck of a lot. And I don't understand why there's the great panic of, oh my gosh, the whole school needs sensitivity. There's no possible way that this could possibly be justified. Well, it's a high school. If it's a high school class and they're trying to explain what this terror group is doing, what it looked like, what it was about, just like showing a picture in a history book, it would be wildly inappropriate to just have a picture of, you know, the Klan and Nathaniel Bedford Forrest up, you know, saying, hey, look, here's the Klan. We've got pictures of them in the hallway. But if you're teaching about the rise of the Klan and what it was up to, and you're showing those pictures, it's a different context. So again, I feel like our society has lost the ability to put context to things. Not that there wasn't context. It's that we'd rather not recognize that context. We'd rather just freak out about it and demonize this whole school, the whole school district, which makes no sense at all. And, you know, I feel sorry for the kids here because now, you know, again, you got a group of kids trying to do the right thing, apparently, trying to if they were making light or making fun, that'd be one thing. But if they're trying to but if they were trying to, as it looks like, show the horror of an organization that was trying to suppress the rights of the people, you know, then they were doing their job. And they were doing their task. And the teacher that's suspended on it sounds like they're being treated unfairly, unless there's a wild part of the story that has yet to be reported. David Bowes in for Dory Monson on 97.3 Cairo FM.